produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to Power Up Your Family. This is Richard Floyd. It's great to be back with you once again. We have a fantastic show for you this day. We have a very special guest. I'll reveal the identity of that guest here in just a few moments, but I wanted just to mention our appreciation to Kayla Padgett for this amazing network, Finding Your Way, and the opportunity that she's provided us to have this Power Up Your Family program as a weekly feature. We dearly love Kayla, and we deeply appreciate her willingness to allow this to be part of her network. This has been a wonderful weekend that we've just had. Those who are interested in sports, Memphis celebrated a great Saturday with college game day with the University of Memphis. in a fierce competition with SMU, and of course, we're happy to announce it. Memphis won, I believe it was 54-48 was the final score. Well played game by both teams, and it was great to see this good sportsmanship and to see the Liberty Bowl completely sold out, 100%, largest attendance ever for a football game for the University of Memphis. Job well done, folks. Also, even more important for the Floyd family, our oldest son was able to be married on Friday, November the 1st, to a dear, wonderful young lady who he's known for several years, and they entered into the bonds of matrimony at 503 or 513, I think it was. She's a math teacher, so it had to be a prime number. Anyway, they are now married as of Friday, and it was a beautiful ceremony. We had all of our local family there. The bride's family was there as well. We had just a delightful time, a beautiful ceremony, a great feeling of love and fellowship that ensued from the gathering of these two families, the Boswells and the Floyds. It was a wonderful day. So, without keeping you in suspense any longer, let me announce who our special guest is on our program on this particular occasion. In a few days, November the 6th, my wife and I will be celebrating our 48th wedding anniversary. It's hard to believe that it's been 48 years that we've been married, but our special guest today is my lovable, sweet wife, the love of my life, Rita Floyd. Rita Lee Floyd, to be exact. Rita, welcome to our program tonight. Welcome, say some welcoming words to our guests on the line and to our listening audience.
Hi, I'm Rita, and I'm happy to be here tonight. Yes, Richard and I are celebrating our 48th anniversary. I guess the biggest things that I wanted to talk to y'all tonight about compared to last year is the fact that as time marches on, changes occur. Our families change. Our children get older. They become, grandparents to children. They've got children they're raising, and everybody changes. Personalities might change, but the main thing is the thing that should not change is our feelings for each other, that connection. So our children, we have from 38 up to 42. We still love to get together and to talk and to share the good times and the bad times, special events. I was just talking with Richard about the fact that just here in the last 60 days, we had one son sell a home in one day, have to be out 2 weeks later. We had a daughter-in-law in Phoenix who had to rent her house out, move from Phoenix to San Antonio to start a new job because our son was coming from Germany to San Antonio to start a new army position there. In the meantime, with them doing that, Rich and I were babysitting our 2.5-year-old granddaughter, Ruby, for 7 weeks, which I will say I lost 13 pounds during the 7 weeks chasing around after Ruby. But this, and we had, our daughter got a new job, started a new job. It just seemed like we had so many changes going on, but they handled it wonderfully. And I just feel like some of the most stressful things you can do in your life are start new jobs, buy a house, get married, and particularly moving, and especially if you're moving back from a foreign country back into the States. But I was very proud to see how each one of our kids handled that. And our communication as a family, one of the big things we do, we have youth messenger so that we can talk back and forth as a group whenever something special happens and all. And being able to celebrate our son's wedding the other night just makes it even more special for recognizing the fact Richard and I have been married for 48 years. I have to tell you, it doesn't seem like 48 years because the time just passes by so quickly. And I honestly remember so much good and happiness. And the fun times, and the joy, and, you know, sharing tears over with my kids if something happened in their life that they were sad about, and how just how special life is. And last year we took a trip to Phoenix, and we were able to see the Grand Canyon. I always thought of it as just being a hole in the ground, but after seeing it, I would say it is a majestic hole in the ground. Grand Canyon is such a wonderful creation of our Father in Heaven, just put there for our joy, for our pleasure, and it makes you feel so small, but important and part of, like, we're part of this creation. And when I look out and see beautiful sunsets, or in the morning seeing the sun rise and the day begin, each day is a gift. And I just know that throughout our life, Heavenly Father has a plan for each one of us specifically, but we are here to have joy. We are here to find the good things in life. And unfortunately, so many have too much sadness in their lives. So I hope that you all have good friends within your own families and can share your thoughts and concerns with each other, but find joy in your lives. I'm just so grateful to have the sweet, wonderful man for a husband. He has been so good to me, certainly a special gift from the Heavenly Father, and I hope to have many more years. Really going with the idea of maybe 75 years of marriage. I don't know if we'll have the patience for that, but I do have hopes of that. Anyway, I'm going to turn it back over to Richard. Thank you, Richard, for allowing me to speak.
You speak whenever you want, dear. Well, it's wonderful to just reflect upon family relationships and family activities. And as Rita mentioned, we have had a very busy year as a family. As she mentioned, three moves, three new cars within the family that were required due to accidents that occurred and other circumstances, some just out of sheer desire for a new vehicle, but a new job for one of our children, a job change for our youngest son, you know, moving from a foreign country where our youngest son was serving in the military there in Germany, and coming back to the United States. This is a remarkable and unique period for our youngest son and his family, because for the better part of the last 2 years, he's been stationed in Germany and they've been here in the United States. And so other than a couple of visits back and forth each year, not back and forth, but for our son coming back to the States to be with his family for 2 or 3 weeks, and of course using electronic media for weekly and daily communication as far as Facebook and FaceTime and Messenger and so forth, the separation that our son and his wife and daughter have our granddaughter have experienced can be very trying for a family. And we're so pleased that they're now together in the same home, a new home that they just moved into a couple of weeks ago, and that they're able to be together as a family, enjoying the day-to-day challenges of raising a soon-to-be three-year-old. By the way, we're excited that we're going to be able to go down to be with our son and his wife to celebrate our granddaughter's three-year birthday. It'll be a great opportunity to see just how much she's grown in the last 6 months since she spent those 7 exciting weeks with us here in Memphis. We learned a lot about toddlers. You know, when you've raised 4 kids and you've had some interaction with grandkids in the years since, you think you know how to childproof a home, but we soon discovered that with little Ruby, no matter how much we thought we had taken care of childproofing the house, she was able to find new little things to get into and to create some wonderful messes. We won't take the time to enumerate those, but let's just say as my wife mentioned, she kept us on our toes. Little Ruby kept us running and going, and there was never a dull moment. But one thing I noticed that as I would come in from work at night, it didn't matter the time, Ruby would stay awake and wait till I got home, and she would come running toward me and give me a hug and immediately wanted me to play with her. And we had some games we played, simple things. I'd chase her around the house or twirl a blanket around me, and she would chase after it. Just simple little things. But she looked forward to that interaction with me each and every evening. And when, you know, after 20, 30 minutes, time would come. And it was such a joy to be able to lift her up without her fussing and take her into the bedroom and lay her in her bed with her favorite stuffed animal, a little giraffe named Jeffrey. As long as she had Jeffrey and her favorite blanket, all was well. I'd give her a little kiss on the forehead, and then she would surprisingly smile and giggle and then take her hand and kind of slap her forehead. Never understood why she would do that, but that became kind of our routine. And, you know, she didn't fuss. I'd turn the light out, leave the door open just a little bit, and she'd go to sleep. But she would not settle down and go to sleep until I got home each night. And I learned and was reminded of the importance of families being able to have routines that the children can get used to, and being able to have that interaction with both a parent, you know, in this case, a grandmother and a grandfather. But this represents the importance of being able to have the father in the home and the mother in the home being able to raise children together. You know, we've talked in the past about this amazing document that was proclaimed to the world back in 1995, I believe it was, called The Family, A Proclamation to the World, issued by the First Presidency and the Council of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, there's much in that proclamation that is very prophetic about what we've experienced here over the last 20 some odd years. But there's a portion here that reminds me of the importance of husband and wife relationships and parental responsibilities. It says here, the first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve pertained to their potential for parenthood as husband and wife. We declare that God's commandment for his children to multiply and replenish the earth remains in force. We further declare that God has commanded that the sacred powers of procreation are to be employed only between man and woman lawfully wedded as husband and wife. We declare the means by which mortal life is created to be divinely appointed. We affirm the sanctity of life and of its importance in God's eternal plan. So it's pretty clear that we have a awesome responsibility to be fruitful and to multiply as a husband and wife when it comes to this mortal experience. And the reason for that is all of us are sons and daughters of a loving Heavenly Father. We are His spirit sons and spirit daughters. He created us. And we come to this mortal experience to gain a body for that spirit. And so that through the trials and tribulations of mortal life, we are able to exercise this great gift that Heavenly Father has given us called free agency. And through free agency, we have the opportunity to choose between good and evil, choose right and wrong. And this test, if you will, that we go through in mortality gives us the opportunity to learn, to gain understanding of God's will in our life, and to gain wisdom, hopefully, along the way. And so part of the plan that Heavenly Father has established is to bring about the opportunity for all of His spirit children to be able to come to this mortal experience, to gain a body of flesh and bone, and to have the experiences of earth life. Now, we understand that when we die, our spirit lives on. Our body is is a temporary tabernacle for the Spirit. And in the time to come, there'll be a day of when the grand and glorious coming of the Savior will occur, and there'll be a resurrection of all those who have ever lived on the earth, where body and spirit will be reunited. Spirits will be reunited into perfected bodies, and thus we'll ultimately have the opportunity for a final judgment to determine our eternal destination. Now, knowing that this is Heavenly Father's plan, it's obviously a very important responsibility that we have as parents and even as grandparents and extended family in rearing our children in righteousness, so that they understand that there's a Father in heaven who loves them, that His Son, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, came to this earth to take upon Himself the sins of all mankind, so that we can be made clean and pure and to be able to return to Heavenly Father. This is called the plan of happiness, or the plan of salvation. And so as my wife and I, in our sojourn together over these last 48 years, we were about 5 years into our marriage when we had the opportunity to become members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and to learn of great doctrine and great gospel principles that have great relevance to not only our life here on earth, but also for all of eternity. Now, my wife and I, Rita, when did we get married and by whom?
Originally, we were married, November 6, 1971, in a Baptist church by a Baptist minister.
And when he performed the wedding ceremony, did he give a duration for our marriage?
He said, until death do us part.
So that is the standard way that a marriage ceremony is typically conducted in the Christian world, by a minister or someone having authority given to them by a court or a magistrate judge, as the case might be. The marriage is for this life here on earth, until death do us part. Now, one of the marvelous things that we have been blessed to discover in our sojourn with the Lord and His restored church here upon the earth is the knowledge to know that marriage can continue on beyond the grave, that Rita and I can continue to be a husband and wife together and enjoy the eternities together and not be separated at death, never to know each other as a husband and wife ever again. Now, how is that possible? Well, if you remember in the scriptures, when Peter and some of the apostles were talking to the Savior, there was a great discussion about who was Jesus Christ. Who was Jesus? And there were many in the area that thought that Jesus might be John the Baptist that had come back, or Elijah. And Jesus asked Peter a very direct question. He said, "Peter, whom sayest thou I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Savior responded back to Peter, "Flesh and bone have not revealed this to you, but it has come through what? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit of revelation." Now, as a result, the Savior made a very interesting comment after that. He said that revelation is the rock on which He's building His church. It wasn't Peter that He was building His church, not a man, but His church is built on revelation. But the Savior did do something very specific at that point. He gave Peter a very, very important assignment and an authorization, if you will. By His statement to Peter and what transpired afterwards, He said unto Peter, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Now, over the years, I've asked many religious leaders of different denominations and different faiths, preachers, pastors, priests, monks, Muslim imams, Jewish rabbis, and a variety of others, What ordinance in your faith do you have the authority to bind in heaven as well as on earth? And it's been an interesting experience, as I've heard back from many different faith leaders telling me that they did not have that authority to bind anything in heaven, only here upon the earth. Well, we are here to testify to you that through the restoration of the Lord's true church here upon the earth, the keys of authority that the Savior gave to Peter have been restored to the earth. And that in a holy temple, and there is about 148 temples erected throughout the world, known as the House of the Lord, wherein one having that same authority is able to seal or to bind a husband and wife together, not till death do them part, but for time and all eternity. Now, Rita, you said our first marriage was November, our original marriage was November the 6th, 1971. When did this very wonderful ordinance of temple marriage occur for us?
July 2nd of 1976.
Where did that occur?
Washington, D.C. Temple.
That was a wonderful experience, as we had to go through quite a process to get there. We traveled 12 hours by car, arrived late at night, and had to go to the temple very early that next morning. Now, one of the interesting things about that trip that occurred that proved to us that the priesthood authority and the priesthood power that had been restored to the earth has significance. Just the month prior to our departure for the temple, I was ordained as an elder of the church and had conferred upon me the Melchizedek priesthood. And in the month intervening before our departure, a miracle of sorts had happened. We'd been married 5 years and had not had any children up to that point. The morning of our departure for the temple on July 1st, 1976, Rita had a very interesting morning and day where she had was considered morning sickness. And so consequently, there was, sorry about that, there was quite a bit of excitement at the fact that Rita was pregnant. Now, it wasn't a pleasurable trip at some point because of that morning sickness and illness that stayed with her throughout the day. She even had to have some crackers and some other things to help settle her down even while she was in the temple. But she survived all that. And within a few months, our first child was born. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience to have our first child. Now, as I had figured out when I was younger, before we got married, I thought it would be kind of cool to have children in four-year intervals. That way you could get one through college and be ready for the next one. But as it turned out, that didn't quite work out. Our first child was born in February of 1977. Our second was in July of 78. And our next child was born in July of 78. Our next child was then born in March of 1980. And then we had our last child born in July of 1981. So literally within a four-year period, we had all of our kids born. And so now we had the amazing thing of having kids in diapers and toddlers all at the same time. Rita, tell me, how was that period of your life and what extra responsibilities came along within, about the time our third child was born and before our fourth child came along with regard to taking care of my mother?
Okay. I wore out two washing machines with cloth diapers, two dryers, and five Hoover vacuum cleaners due to Lego pieces in the carpet, not counting the Play-Doh. Also, at the same time this was going on, Richard's mother became diagnosed with breast cancer that had metastasized through to the bone. And we made arrangements to move into a house with her. We bought a new home. and took care of her during that time. So I had four kids under four and a terminally ill mother-in-law. And I was working full-time, and Richard was working a full-time job and traveling. And this is also a church responsibility. So I did a lot of praying, and it worked out, but I really did not know what sleep was during the first 7 years after we started having kids.
Well, you can appreciate the fact that I was in awe of my wife for being such a trooper, and I tried my best to help as much as I could, working full-time job, having church responsibilities, and taking care of the family and providing for them. So consequently, it was a stressful time in our lives, but we managed to get through it, and many miracles were witnessed. My mother was really only supposed to live for about 6 months after her original diagnosis of cancer. And miraculously, she lived for almost 3 years. She got to see all of her grandkids born. I'm an only son, only child. And so we had her live with us those last 3 years of her life. And she got to be with us and with all of her grandkids. And they got to be with her. And it was a difficult time, but it was a very special time as well. And we were very appreciative of the great support that helped get us through that difficult time from members of our faith. We had people who came by regularly to check on my mom. One was a registered nurse who served as a Relief Society president, who actually was able to administer some of the medications that my mother needed at certain points. We had a wonderful bishop who came by regularly to check on us. And in our faith at that time, we had visits from what we would call home teachers from the priesthood and visiting teachers from the Relief Society. And these dear brothers and sisters would come by and check on us and did special things for us. I remember individuals that came in and actually helped do the laundry, helped sometimes with meals. So it was a very tender period to see that unity of our faith group. And it strengthened our testimonies, and I'm sure it had a positive impact on our children as well. And it certainly had an impact on my mother, who, to be honest about it, was not happy 5 years earlier when we became members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In any event, we just love the opportunity that we have to have celebrated these 48 years of marriage this coming week on November the 6th. Just two more years, Rita, and it'll be 50. 50 years. Well, we've known each other for over 50 years. We started dating a good 2 years before we got married. And there's many stories we could tell about that. But we just want to conclude our program on this occasion by letting everyone know that we appreciate your participation in this program. We appreciate the kind words that we hear from time to time from people suggesting that the messages that they've heard on our Power Up Your Family program have been of benefit. And we pray that we'll be guided by the Spirit to know those things that will be of benefit to others. We certainly don't claim to be experts on family and family life, but after 48 years, I can testify to you, we certainly have gained experience, and hopefully from that experience, we can share some of the wisdom that we've gained. But again, we just want to testify to you that we know that families can be forever, that the family is divinely appointed by God, and that our Father in heaven loves each and every one of us and desires that all of us may return to him, that we might be able to be eternally connected with our Father in heaven and as families. And we testify of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Peace.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.